General Mark Milley, heroic, treasonous, somewhere in the middle, the country's highest-ranking military leader, twice called his Chinese counterpart to pledge that the U.S. would not attack China. The calls came at the end of the Trump administration last October and then this January. This was first reported in an upcoming book and then confirmed by Milley and the Pentagon. Milley reportedly feared that Trump's actions in the waning days of his presidency could have provoked a military confrontation with China. His critics include retired Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who said he crossed a line. Here he is on Newsweek's The Daily Break podcast.
Even if he did what he did for the right reasons, what he did was wrong. And there is an accountability with that. You can't just walk away from flirting with upending civil military norms, you know, doing end runs around civilian control and walk away with it. There are consequences.
Okay, let's bring in here now national security analyst Jim Walsh to talk about all this. He's with the MIT Security Studies Program. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Scott.
Now, there's a furious political debate, as you know, over Milley and what he did. How do you think about this and what it tells us about who's in charge, the top uniformed military officer or the commander-in-chief?
Well, you're right to say that the debate has sort of settled into Milley as heroic defender at a moment of peril. I mean, it's worth pointing out that this was in the middle of the insurrection, after all. Others saying he was insubordinate and crossed the line. And then others saying, no, you guys have it all wrong. This was normal, by the book stuff. All of this had been scheduled in advance and reviewed. Regular communication with a nuclear-armed country to prevent misperception, miscalculation, and that's a good thing. And Scott, I don't think you'll be surprised to hear that I have a contrarian view. And that is that this all misses the point in a deeply disturbing way. The point is, and it had been true for some time, that many people appointed by Mr. Trump came to fear that he might act rashly and cause or start a war, even a nuclear war. So these are his people, officials in national security who know him best. And they're the ones who are the most worried. Now, you know, we can have a debate over whether, in fact, lines were crossed or they weren't and what the proper procedure is. But, hey, let's just pull back here and say the people who knew him best in national security were worried he was going to start a nuclear war. And we're all sort of like, well, that's crazy. But, hey, what about those North Koreans? So I think we're missing the flashing sign here that there's a problem. And the problem is nuclear weapons.
And as far as flashing signs, there were, of course, two calls. And as you say, one came January 8th, 2 days after the insurrection at the Capitol. Do the events of that day, House Speaker Pelosi reportedly talking to Milley about Trump's state of mind and Milley talking to senior officers about nuclear decision-making. I mean, is this one of those specific days that goes exactly to what you're talking about?
Yes, I think so. I remember that day so well. It was a Friday when Pelosi announced that she had talked to Milley and asked him about what had gone down. And in all the reporting that we've had this week, no one is talking about that. So on one single day, January 8th, Pelosi calls Milley worried about nuclear weapons. Milley reassures China that there'll be no surprise attack. And on that same day, Milley convenes his senior officers to review the procedures for proper nuclear decision making. Now, am I supposed to believe that that's all a big coincidence? No. People were genuinely scared about what Trump might do. And that's because we have all these weapons. It was a flashing danger sign and we were sort of concerned about it, but then we all moved on.
I mean, Is there an alternative way to look at this and say these could be people at very high levels, but they were overreacting to what was happening?
I mean, that could be, but you know, who should we be if they're overreacting? It makes me wonder how we should be if they're the closest to the situation and the people who know the president the best and take nuclear weapons seriously. Most of us don't have time to think about that sort of thing. That's their job. And if they're freaking out about it, then that tells me something very wrong is going on. And if you remember, Scott, in that whole run-up, that last half year, you know, from September on, there were people who were being relieved of duty. Esper was brought on. He was fired. He was on travel the whole month of September because he didn't want to have to deal with it. There were people who were temporarily acting positions. I mean, the whole process, decision-making process, was all broken down, and then in the middle of this, you get the insurrection.
Right. And very quickly, I just want to come back to this debate very quickly. On one hand, there are those who say, the military leaders can take charge in a case like this, and others who are absolutists who say civilian control over these things. Is that, in your view, a legitimate debate out there of how to do things?
In some ways, yes, absolutely. And I am not saying the military should take charge. I believe in democracy, and I believe in, strict rules for civil-military relations. Okay. I'm saying that the military was scared to death, and that the problem here is not one person. The problem is that an American president or a general or any other single human being has the power to destroy everything on Earth because they control nuclear weapons. So the problem is not the person. It's that one person has the ability to destroy everything. The problem is not the system. It's the nuclear weapons.
Okay. All right. Jim Walsh here and now is National Security Analyst at the MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, thank you as always.
Thank you, Scott.